This is Julian Valdivia with the Sam Proctor Oral History Program. I'm sitting today in Fort Myers, Florida at the Lee County Black History Society in Roberto Clemente Park. And today I'm sitting down with...
James A. Middlebrooks Jr.
Gwen Middlebrooks.
All right. Thank you both for being here today. I want to start by asking, well, both of you, how you spell your names for the sake of the transcriber.
Go ahead, Ken.
Gwen, G-W-E-N.
Okay.
Which stands for Gwendolyn. If you want the whole name, I give it to you.
All right. Yes.
G-W-E-N-D-O-L-Y-N.
L-Y-N. Okay.
Middlebrooks. M-I-D-D-L-E-B-R-O-O-K-S.
Okay. And what is your maiden name?
Gwen Moment. M-O-M-E-N-T.
Okay.
Like just one moment, please.
All right, and then
James, J-A-M-E-S.
Okay.
Melanicious, A.
Okay.
Middlebrooks, M-I-D-D-L-E-B-R-O-O-K-S, and I'm a junior.
All right, so can I ask you both, where were you both born?
I was born in Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay.
I'm also born in Jacksonville, Florida.
All right. And can I ask you both who your parents were, too?
Sure.
My father was Joseph and Nadine Moment, M-O-M-E-N-T. Joseph and Nadine.
Okay.
N-A-D-I-N-E, Nadine.
Okay. And then James?
James and Lily, L-I-L-L-I-E.
Okay.
Middlebrooks with an S. James and Lily Middlebrooks.
Yep. All right. So I got that now. And did you both spend all your time growing up in Jacksonville?
I left Jacksonville as a child, maybe in second grade, and went to Sanford, Florida.
Okay.
And stayed there for maybe 5 or 6 years. And my father was in the service. And then we matriculated to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And we stayed there until I was in 10th grade, and I went back to Jacksonville.
Okay. And, hold on, you went from Sanford to Fort Lauderdale?
Yes.
Okay. And then, James.
All my life has been in Jacksonville, except for coming down here to spend 2 weeks with my fiance, who's now my wife after 52 years.
Okay.
So Jacksonville, Fort Myers.
All right. And so where did you both go to school in Jacksonville then?
I went to New Stanton High School.
Okay.
S-T-A-N-T-O-N, Stanton.
And James, same question.
I went
for
to
you?
No.
Oh?
Matthew William Gilbert.
Okay.
And that Gilbert is G-I-L-B-E-R-T. Junior, senior high school.
Okay.
Jacksonville.
And can I also ask you what year you both were born?
1943.
Okay.
March 17th, 1942.
All right. 1942.
Now, should we have you sign a statement that this information doesn't go? I'm just bothering.
Got everything. All you have to do is plug it in.
I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Actually, yeah, that is suspicious. Intro questions, but okay. Can I ask you what it was like growing up in Jacksonville then, or what do you remember most about Jacksonville growing up?
I'll go there.
As I get older, I realize I was privileged.
Okay.
My grandfather was a minister, a preacher,
mm-hmm.
And my family had their own business.
Okay.
And most of their customers were grocery stores in the Jacksonville area.
Mm.
Like A&P.
Yeah, A&P.
Winn-Dixie.
Winn-Dixie.
Okay.
And all of the small stores. So during that time, we were the middle class, upper class. And we were not aware of black and white. We knew about black and white, but it didn't mean anything to us because even the white people treated my family special.
Mm.
And the area we lived in was integrated.
Borderline, yeah.
Borderline integrated. Jim, next door neighbors were white people. So I didn't know about the prejudiceness at that time.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. So what part of Jacksonville was this then?
We call it...
Let me give you a little history of Jacksonville real
okay.
quick.
Yeah, no, by all means, yeah.
Because Jacksonville is so large,
mm-hmm.
by land, it's the largest city in the state of Florida. By land now, the Cape Cod is the largest city in the state of Florida. We had 8 different areas in Jacksonville where blacks would live, predominant blacks would live. Some live on the peripheral of white, black. There was no Hispanics at all during that time.
Mm.
My grandfather was a minister also. My grandfather cut yards, and all the yards he cut except for his own was whites. My mother had a little confectionery store. It's a lot of, like a corner convenience store.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna use the word my wife used. We was kind of privileged also.
Okay.
My father, I remember the house that we was living in because I have a sister and a brother and myself. As the family, go for it.
Yeah, sorry, I should turn that off. I apologize for that. All right. Continue.
As the family grew, my father would build a room for myself, then a room for my sister, and then a room for my brother. When it got that crowded, I moved out and went with my grandparents.
Who were on the other side?
On the other side of town.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandparents lived right next to whites. And from that person on to the corner was white. Around the corner was white, black. On one side was all white. So when you look at just that perspective, we was in an integrated community at that time.
Okay.
Although we knew it was not integrated there because we had movies
mm-hmm.
that we could not go to downtown Jacksonville, but we had our own.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing like your own. We had doctors, lawyers, dentists, all the movies, the skating rings and all that stuff. We had in our own neighborhood.
Just for black folks.
Yes. So it didn't bother us at the time. High school, her high school and my high school was both segregated high school.
Mm-hmm.
I graduated from an all black high school. Even though we passed other predominant white schools, it didn't bother us because our teacher was really good.
Mm.
I can't make a comparison analysis, but I think our teacher was better than the white teacher. I'm just talking. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
When I got ready to leave Jacksonville, I went to the University of Pittsburgh.
Okay.
So that was just my first freshman year.
Mm.
Then I quit school.
Okay.
Because my partner and I had we call it a landscaping company, but it was actually a cutting yards. We made more money cutting yards than I did when I was principal of Riverdale High School.
Mm-hmm.
So we worked hard Monday through Friday. We played hard Saturday, and we had no choice to be in church on Sundays. So, that was my life going from high school up to graduation. And my partner and I was water skiers, So the beach, we had our own beach.
And our own country club.
And our own country club. So we weren't, we didn't really know that we was lacking something else. Our teachers, for the sake of repeating that, we thought was the very best teachers out. And when we left high school and went to an integrated situation, we found that our teacher was really good.
Yeah.
Over and above, not only did they taught us math, English, and those kind of things, they also taught us how to live and why we should be what we should be in this world in order to get ahead of the game. They taught us no mediocre stuff. They said, always be the very best you can and don't settle for anything less than that. So I'm saying to this, we was not in an integrated situation. When I went to Pittsburgh, I was in a integrated situation, but it didn't bother me at all because all my clients was basically white people. And my goal was to do the very best on their yard and take their money. So that's how we made good money as young people. I'm saying 18, 19, 20 years old.
Yeah.
We made good money during that time.
Okay.
And made more money than I did when I say after I've had a master's degree than I did when I was principal of Riverdale High School.
Okay. Wow, you made more money than you when you were a principal?
Yes. Yeah.
That's impressive.
And had no degrees.
Wow. Man, you were hustling.
Yes, we were.
He is a hustler.
We had 152 yards we had to do every month. And when we would leave Jacksonville and go back to school, my partner went to Florida A&M University.
Okay.
And I went to South Carolina State College.
Okay.
And we would come home on the weekend sometime and work at those stores that my wife's family would sell peas,
produce.
We'd work at some of those stores, and we'd make a couple hundred dollars on a Friday and Saturday, and then we'd go back to school. And I won't say nothing about the incident that happens there, but maybe that will come up later.
Okay. Well, could I ask then, how did you both meet?
That's how we met.
That's how we met.
My grandmother sent me to the grocery store.
Okay.
And I went to the grocery store, and Jim was, and him and Robert, his friend, was picketing the store, because when they came home, the new owner of the store would not let them do the grocery for the people. He would pick people up, take them home, you know, and he told me, don't go in the grocery store. And I told him I had to go in the grocery store because my grandmother told me to bring bread or sugar, I can't remember which one, home. So he told me no, but I got it anyway, and he walked me home. I think I got it.
Yes,
you did. He walked me home, and that's when we first met.
Okay.
Now, I was 15 years old.
And I was 16.
And he disappeared. I didn't see him after then. But during the Christmas holiday, he came back home. We met, we would go skating on this particular road. Mount Creek? No. What was it? We would go skating on this particular
on
road.
Avenue.
Bellwood in Jacksonville.
And
there he was again, looking good too. Looking real good. He walked me home. And I was 15, and that's how we met, and that's...
And it's history since.
And it's history. I've been with him since I was 15 years old.
Okay.
We dated when she's 15 for 8 years, and then we've been married for 52 years.
Oh, wow. God bless you both. 52, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then I want to ask Gwen, while Jim was doing his business and was going to college on the side and everything like that, you were doing your business on the side along with college, were you going to college as well?
Yes, I went to Bethune-Cookman College in Daytona.
Okay. And so you were both dating at the time still then?
Yeah.
Okay. So then how did you both keep in touch with each other?
Jim would leave Carolina State and come to Daytona Beach.
Oh, wow.
And the students knew him better. They would tell me, Middlebrooks is on campus. And once in a while, I know one time I went to South Carolina where he was going to school.
Mm.
That's how we, and you know, every summer after college and vacationing, East,
all
Christmas,
doing the holidays,
all doing this
spring breaks and all those
kind of
things.
We would be together.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And were any of the, college towns, like the way, like, I guess like the communities, were they different at all than how it was in Jacksonville?
I don't know that much about Daytona because I stayed on campus.
Okay.
And but we did go downtown, and at that time, the stores, you couldn't eat at the counters.
Mm.
We would go to class. Between classes, we would go and picket it, the stores.
Okay. And I assume similar situation.
Same thing. South Carolina.
Yeah.
Same thing happened. It was a predominant black, still is a predominant black college.
Mm.
That was the best, I won't say the best, it was one of the most grateful college that I ever gone to.
Mm.
Because I would always work. I would always tell young people right now, work at a restaurant, for you can always have something to eat. And I worked at our school restaurant,
cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
And I never had an urge not to have food. In fact, about I even bought a one of those little low balls refrigerators to put in my closet at school. And I would work. I never forget there was a young lady who was one of my math instructors. And she had 8 pecan trees, and I love pecans. And I just asked Ms. Zimmerman, let me rake your yard free of charge, but give me all the pecans that's on the ground. Let me have them. Well, not only did I have pecans, but I would sell them too. I was always an entrepreneur all the time. I never forget, even when I was a teenager, I always had something to do to make me honest money.
Mm.
I've never worried about being dishonest because my parents would put a little hurting on me if I had any problems of that nature.
Yeah.
But I've always had a job. When we had a job, we quit school 4 or 5 times because we had H&M gardening service.
Mm-hmm.
And we made real good money.
Yeah.
And we also, my partner was Boy Scout leader. I was Cub Scout leader at our church. And so we had those Saturdays sometimes when we had nothing we were going to do that afternoon. We'd take our kids, the kids, to several places. We had American Beach in Ferndina Beach, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a little isle, Talbot Island, and I forget where.
It was a state park.
And then we had another place we would take those kids. And we have overnight trips. So we had fun, and the parents was really appreciative because those two groups was from our church, and the church enjoyed that too because we was doing Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts duties there.
Mm-hmm.
But when we got a little older, we start going other places that was further from Jacksonville, like Atlanta. We would do water skiing up in Atlanta area. George Washington Carver had a park up in Atlanta, and we'd go and water ski up there.
Mm.
So we had a lot of fun, and our young ladies sometime would go with us on just a day trip because we were still
young
then.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, in my young days, I had more fun than the average kid would.
Mm.
And my father gave me a car when I was in 9th grade. So, and I told my father, I don't want a car. If my girlfriend can't ride in a truck with me, then, but she rode in a truck with me on the,
sitting on a milk carton.
Milk carton. So she done passed all the goals already.
Jimmy, Gwen and Robert. I'd be in the middle on a milk cart, panel truck.
Yes. But we had fun, wholesome fun.
Yeah.
And making money. And we had our own money. Mm. We didn't have to ask anybody for money. We bought our own clothes, even though parents would buy us clothes, but we bought our own clothes, our own shoes, and all that stuff. We didn't have Burger King and and those kind of places to go, but we had Roosevelt Grill that we can go to, and we had the Strand Theater and the Roosevelt Theater and that other one that's still there now for Black History.
I think of it. Uh-huh.
But we had three theaters that we could go to. And out of the three theaters, my goodness, you didn't need to go to no other ones if you didn't want to. And my grandparents, because I live with my grandparents mostly, my grandparents says, freedom is the true gift. If you're not locked up in jail someplace, you're not doing the wrong thing, you have freedom. And we enjoy freedom when we was coming up. Mm. We didn't know things about until integration really hit the surface. In South Carolina, I was jailed for 11 days. I promised myself then I would never go to jail ever again.
Mm.
And I was a teenager then. So I learned my lesson, even though we was fighting for equal rights, I learned my lesson real quick. Get something here, and you can demand more. Build yourself up, self-esteem, and build character, and you could demand more. When we first come here, my wife was at a segregated school.
Franklin Park,
which is still there now. My first year in this county, I come to spend 2 weeks as my fiance before I go to the service in Fort Jackson. I said, if I ever go to the service, I'm gonna go as a second lieutenant and not a buck private.
Mm.
Mr. Salters, who was the principal there, said he needed an instructor. I never went to school for teaching. And he said to me, I don't care, you have a degree. And that's where I started my career in education at Franklin Park Elementary School.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you said Salters. Was that Wardell Salters?
Yes. It,
mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes. Excellent. We called him all kind of names because he would make a demand on his teachers. Every Thursday, you had to turn in a blueprint.
A lesson plan.
For the next week.
Mm.
So we thought, and he would mark that. If the word wasn't in order and verb didn't agree with verb, those kind of things, he would check it out. He was an English instructor. I say, my goodness, I learned more English at that school than I ever had. But he was a good principal.
Mm.
And he was the one that got me off from going to Fort Jackson in South Carolina to start in education here.
Okay. So then I want to make sure you both were educators, right?
Still yes. Is. Uh-huh.
Okay. And so when you did come down here to Fort Myers, what motivated you both to come down here? Cause I know, oh, okay.
She was here already.
I guess the college passed out a list. I don't know. And Mr. Salters called me and told me he needed a teacher.
Mm.
And it was September. I didn't get a job in Jacksonville at the time. So Mr. Salters told me he had a position for me, so I came down.
Okay.
And I knew about Fort Myers when I said I knew it exists.
Yeah.
Because I had an uncle who worked with the migrant workers here in Fort Myers. So my mom, she felt safe in sending me here because my uncle lived here.
Okay.
And that's how I got in Fort Myers. But when I got here, it was a total culture shock. Because like Jimmy said, we had professional people. We had different areas we could live in. And then when I got here, it was just a shock to me.
Yeah. What year did you move here?
1965.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Uh-huh. I graduated college in June 65, and September 65, I came here.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I want to ask that because then you started working here in 65. Then.
Yes.
I know I read somewhere that in between like 1964 and 1965, the school board came up with like an integration plan for the schools that they never enacted, apparently, because, well, they definitely never enacted it because they didn't integrate until 69.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what that was, or was it talked about when you started working?
What you mean, the integrated plan?
Well, I can answer
maybe
that.
You could answer.
Okay.
In 65, Franklin Park was the elementary school. They had two elementary schools for blacks.
Yep.
That was Franklin Park and Dunbar. Yes. Those was the only two elementary schools. Then they had a high school in this town, just like Jacksonville and my side of town.
Mm.
You had a junior senior high combined. So Dunbar High School was Dunbar Junior Senior High. They had an elementary and Dunbar Senior High.
Okay.
Dunbar Junior Senior High School. That's where the blacks went to school.
Mm.
Believe it or not, and this is far off, the students from Punta Gorda, the black students from Punta Gorda had to come all the way here to go to school also.
Same with the black students from Sanibel, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, when I come here, that was the last year for integration of for teachers.
Okay.
The first year they had integration of schools. It was not integration of schools.
I see.
It was integration of teachers.
I see.
Because that. My first year, my second year here, I went to Lee Junior High School, and there was just integration of teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Then the following year, they start integrating schools. So I went to Lee Junior High, which is no longer Lee Junior High. It's James Stevens Academy.
Uh-huh.
My wife, and she'll tell you about that if that comes up. I went to Lee, and I decided if I'm going to stay in education, I better go back and get my degree above my BS degree.
Mm.
So I went back and got my, every summer, I would leave here because we couldn't stand Fort Myers. When school was out,
yeah,
we had a trailer.
We were packed and ready to go.
Ready to go. When we got our check, we on our way back to Jacksonville.
Mm.
And so I said, her family was in Jacksonville. And so she stayed with her mother. And I went on straight to Orangeburg, South Carolina to start working on my master's degree.
Mm.
So that's how integration started. The first high school that started integration was Fort Myers High School.
Yeah.
And that's when Jim Stevens was there. He was there a year before, and he was dean of students, but he was actually dean of black students.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when Jim said he went to, I think this is important, he went to Lee, we had no choice. We got a letter, and it said, "Welcome to Michigan Elementary." I had no choice, you know.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So then, I mean, with what you're telling me about, like, Fort Myers, I mean, after you packed up the trailer for the summer and things like that, going back, why did you decide to come back to Fort Myers?
Well, Jim had a couple of job offers offered. In Carolina, he had a job.
And you're talking about pay was bad.
Yeah, they didn't make as much as Fort Myers.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was a chemist.
Oh, wow.
My degree was in professional chemistry. Mm-hmm. Since I wanted to be a pharmacist.
Mm.
And South Carolina, they stopped two programs. They stopped the pharmaceutical program, and they also stopped the lawyer program. and they carried those up to the University of South Carolina in Columbia, South Carolina. And I decided I didn't want to make a change, so I'd stay in. The best thing was me to be in professional chemistry and with a minor in mathematics. Mm-hmm. But I got my degree in counseling.
Master's degree
in counseling and administration.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So after several years, I had to go to South Carolina for four straight summers in order to get my master's. And after I received my master's, my first year with my master's with a counseling degree was at Colusa Middle School.
Okay.
And they wanted me to be disciplinary. And I say, give me the assistant principal job and I'll be all the disciplinary you want. But they wouldn't. I knew why they wouldn't give it that. Ida Baker was the assistant principal. And she was principal after that for a while until her death. And they named the school after Ida Baker, a high school after her. So I stayed on. And as soon as I got my degree, I went to Riverdale after Colusa and become 12th grade counselor there. And then 2 years as assistant principal and 5 years as principal. And then I quit the school system and went to the college.
You asked,
I'm sorry about that.
Before that, I asked why you all came back.
You asked why we came back to Fort Myers. We didn't want to live in Jacksonville either.
Oh.
Because my mama was overbearing.
Oh, no.
I was her only child. No, I had the brothers then. I was her only daughter. And she was at our house every day to cook for us and do everything. She just smothered me. So I had to get away from that.
In a nice way.
And his parents lived in Jacksonville. And they just really wouldn't let us grow up, you know?
Yeah.
So we came back to Fort Myers where we could be
Mrs. Middlebrooks. Yes.
No, I just asked that, though, because it seems like, it just seems so different. I mean, compared to, what you're telling me about with, like, water skiing and things like that. And then coming back here to Fort Myers, where, like, the only beach for the black community was Bunch Beach.
Bunch Beach.
Yeah.
I've never been to, my wife say I've been there one time. I don't remember.
You don't remember.
No. I was trying to, I know a couple of people will know where Bunch Beach. I know it's right off of McGregor, and you make a left off of McGregor.
That's what you heard. You don't know.
Yeah. Okay. We
make our own fun. We had a lot of house parties.
Oh.
And stuff like that. And when we did venture out, and it hasn't changed too much, we were the only black people in situations, you know. And it hasn't changed too much now.
Not at all. And what she mean by that? My wife has a voice. A particular voice. I'm a deep Southerner, and whatever comes up comes out. We bought us a home. We stayed at her uncle. I stayed at her uncle's house. I don't know how long. She stayed with a friend in an apartment. Then we got married, and we got our own. We rented our own house, and we didn't like that, so we rented another house. And we didn't like that one. Then we rented another house, and these are months, not years now. We rented another house, and my wife said, "You going to the bathroom again?" I said, "That was next door, baby. You can hear the person next door to us flushing the toilet."
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And
I said,
"Too close."
Too close.
Yeah.
So we bought us a house across the street from that house, which still is on St. Charles. And then I said to my wife, I'm going to add a room onto this. We had no children right then. I'm going to add a room onto this. Now, people add little rooms 10 by 10. We added a room 14 and a half by 40.
The whole
left of the house.
See, in Jacksonville, we had big houses.
Yes. Her grandmother, when she lived with her grandmother, and because that was right around the corner, several corners from where I lived with my grandparents. And so I would call her sometime on the telephone, and I'd say, hold on for a minute. And I would run from my house to her house, jump over the fence, and I say, I'm back, and she still would be on the phone. Now, I was fast then. I can't do that kind of stuff now. But I say all that to say this. We really enjoy coming up. Mm-hmm. And when we come back here, we was our own.
Yeah.
And then after 7 years at that house, we built the house where we are now. And my wife decided to stay out of the school system. So we built her a child care center. Mm. And she had 4 workers and about 70-some kids. And so that's when I retired from Riverdale, and because our kids was growing up, and I'm at Riverdale 15, 16 hours a day. So that's for the bird. I can make more money doing something else. Mm. So I went to Edison, and I went to Boys and Girls Club first, and our kids really enjoyed Boys and Girls Club.
Okay.
Our kids, Deion Sanders was one of my kids.
Oh, really?
On our basketball team, yes. And we would go to Tampa. We'd go to, what's the name of the other place? Went to Miami a couple of times, Lakeland. Mm. Lakeland had 2 or 3 teams.
Boy.
Tampa had 3 teams. Sarasota had the best Boys and Girls Club in the world to me. And so I always wanted to make my Boys and Girls Club like Sarasota. Mm. But that I was only at Boys and Girls Club for about 3 years. And then I went to Edison. It was called Edison Junior College, then become Edison Community College, then Edison College, then Edison State College. I was at Edison for 20 years plus. 26 mm. years. And in the meantime, at Edison, I would adjunct at Berry University.
Okay.
When I retired from Edison, I stayed on with Berry as an adjunct math instructor. Mm. And I'm going to put Berry down.
Okay. All right. Still at Berry.
I'm still at Berry now. Okay. Now, when I built the house, the child care center for my wife, I started going into construction.
Okay.
Yeah. I built 10 homes in Lee County. And I used to hold a mortgage on 5 of them.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And then I decided I had a little problem with a client. And I said, no more. No more of that. Did a bad thing for the person and myself, towards me. Mm. And that means some people would miss out on having homes.
Yeah.
I still would like to build some more homes, but I'll leave that alone for right now.
Man, I'm just trying to think, like, in my head, because, like, I mean, you've done just so many things.
Yeah, we have. It's unbelievable. Mm. But we would do it all over again. We've had wonderful lives.
We also had our daughter's 49.
She don't want people to know how old she
okay,
is.
Okay, our daughter's in her 40s now. And we had we call it Team Palace. It was right across the street there, across from
the Legion. Is that it?
The Legion.
Across
from,
yeah.
Yeah. What's Mr. Quality Life?
Yeah.
And she was still teaching. We had a, we call it Teen Palace.
It was a little hamburger joint for teenagers to hang mm-hmm. out.
Huh. And she was a good cook. Ooh, Lord. We couldn't keep hamburgers, pork chop, French fries, soda pops,
Hot dogs.
That was just a little place like McDonald's or Burger King.
That was
for our children.
For our children.
And the parents trusted us. You know, they knew Middlebrooks. So they would say, go on down to Teen Palace. So we would babysit them from four to
11 o'clock at night.
Oh, wow.
We also had a pinball machine in there and a Pac-Man. So we've done just about anything and everything we want to do.
Yeah, because we are entrepreneurs.
Yes.
Like his grandfather, my grandfather was in business. My mom owned her own daycare. We were just entrepreneurs, our family in general.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we, Jim said he made more doing lawns than in the school system. Teachers didn't make money. They still don't make money. Mm. And, you know, their wages, you know how low the wages are now.
Yeah. So. And did you guys still, teachers still pay for their own supplies, but was it more so even?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
At bulletin, they demanded we have bulletin boards and all that, but we had to buy our own materials for that.
Mm.
We bought everything.
It's unreal.
Yeah.
I remember I got my first check here in Fort Myers. It was $300 and some a month.
And that was better than South Carolina?
Oh, Lord. Yes. Now, see, the difference in South Carolina and Florida, the teachers had different kind of certificates.
Mm.
There was an A certificate, a B certificate, and a C certificate. Well, the certificate's kind of like the graduate record exam.
Okay.
And a lot of people, even today, cannot pass GREs, graduate record exams, SATs, ACTs, GEDs, and all. They still don't have test taking skills.
Mm.
Okay, let's not get into that. Okay.
Okay, all right.
Another thing, too, Jonathan, to this day, I'm not sure the black salary was different from the white people's salary. I think it was.
Okay.
But I can't say for sure.
Yeah.
I believe they made more money than we did.
Mm. I haven't seen the records of it, but I think that would be something interesting to look up. Mm-hmm. Apart from the interview.
When you mentioned the schools being integrated.
Mm.
My daughter's best friend lived right across the street from us beyond St. Charles. The boundaries came in the middle of the street. My daughter went to a school in Cape Coral,
mm-hmm.
and her friend Kathy went to Franklin Park. Now, we could walk to Franklin Park.
Yeah.
But when they divided us, that's just what they did.
And did they have the Midpoint or Cape Coral Bridge yet? Or did they go across Edison Bridge?
They didn't have Midpoint Bridge.
They didn't have Midpoint.
No.
Did they have the Cape Coral Bridge down south?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But they bust my little
the
baby.
The one on College Parkway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you can go, not Burnstoke Road, but the one as soon as you get across the old bridge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's just where it was. The line was right down St. Charles Street.
Down St. Charles.
St. Charles and Poldo.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I want to ask, too.
I'm going to add one more thing to that. Because we stayed this.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy stayed here. But Tagenham went to a different school, too.
They
did? Yes. Mm-hmm. And they was down across from Franklin Park.
Mm.
Mr. Sims, I think you've had
that time.
Oh yeah, I've talked with the Sims twice.
Mm-hmm. Were they still on across from Miss Mary?
Yes, they were. Okay, that's why. Okay.
Mm-hmm. How did they choose which schools to go to? Because I just assumed that they put in place school choice.
Mm-mm.
Or no,
we didn't have school choice. They made the choice for us.
So they just like out.
We get letters say you going to this school, you going to that school.
School choice was later on.
Yeah, it was late. They chose.
And even in between that, you had 3 7th grade splints. It was a 7th grade South, a 7th grade Central, and a seventh grade something else, because Dunbar Community School was a seventh grade center. Mm-hmm. So everybody in seventh grade went to one of those schools before we had high schools. Before those kids went to the high schools, we had high schools, but before those, they had a seventh grade center. Hmm. You need to find out about the seventh grade centers.
So that was like right when they integrated, then they sent the seventh graders to those, or the upcoming seventh graders.
I don't know the exact time, but we had three seventh grade centers. I don't know who can talk to you about those seventh grade centers. That was something else too.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't read about those, or heard about them for that matter. But I'll definitely look into it. At the time too, were you both still in elementary when they started integrating?
I was, and you did.
Stayed 1 year, not even a complete year, at Franklin Park. I don't know what month I come down here to be at Franklin Park, but I was not a full year at Franklin Park. And the very next year, I asked if I'm gonna stay in education, can I go in my field, which was mathematics or chemistry?
And they sent you to Lee.
They sent me to Lee.
Oh, okay, and that was the junior, right?
Yes, yeah. And I had eighth grade. It was actually Lee Junior Senior High School.
Yep.
Lee Junior Senior High School. And we had football there. We had basketball. We had tennis. I was assistant football coach and head tennis coach. And I would take my kids, because I didn't like the tennis courts at Lee. Mm-hmm. I'd take my kids over to over there off of 41. We would hang in the cars, in the trunks. Whoa.
Ooh.
Well, that went off. Kid, you okay, baby?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Huh. All right, so it's back. I guess we'll go where we left off then. I was asking about, I just told you, integration during the time. The question I want to ask you, Gwen, was, because you were still teaching elementary there, I know that things were hectic in high schools and things like that, and I can't imagine that being among the kids, but were there any strong reactions from the parents once they had integrated the elementary schools?
No, I didn't get any feedback from the parents.
Okay. I wanted to ask too, when they decided, because I know that there was basically, I read like the court document where it was a judge and he was just like, okay, well, we're going to close Dunbar High and things like that. Why did they decide to leave Franklin Park open?
As an elementary school?
Yes.
I have no idea. You know, we have this mentality. Sometimes we as black people feel we have no choice. You know, they told us what to do. Whatever they said do, we say, yes, sir. Yes, sir, master, you know. And we just don't balk the system. Because like I said, they didn't ask me whether I wanted to go to. I just got a letter saying, you are welcome to Michigan Elementary School. And as far as the division, you know, coming down our street, your child will be going to Cape Coral. Your child would be going to Franklin Park.
There was no decision we could make as parents at all.
Yeah, whatever they said to do, we did.
And the same was for basically parents across the county, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you said your daughter had to go to Cape Elementary?
Yeah.
What was it like for, did she have to like get up early in the morning then to like, I mean, I can't imagine, like, I mean, that's like a 45-minute drive, right?
Yeah, first time she took the bus. she went on the bus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But to alleviate that problem, Jim and I put our children in private school. we put them in private school.
What private schools were available at the time?
Well, at that time, we went to evangelical.
Okay. Christian. Before that time, the one out there by Cypress Lake High School,
What? Our children didn't go there. You to my Canterbury?
No. You know where Zion went to middle school? Right down the street.
There was. Oh, our children. Yeah, no, Montessori. We put LaShawn in Montessori school. That was elementary.
That was elementary.
Kind of like daycare. She was 4 years old.
Okay,
she
all right.
She was 4 years old when she went to Montessori.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. What, they had a Montessori school here? Which?
It's
they
have private. Two. We have private Montessori schools.
And
it's
two of Fort Myers or Cape Coral?
No, this Cape is Fort Myers. This was in Fort Myers.
And then there's
another. And they have one in the Cape, too.
And then there's another one on, right around from Barrie.
Yeah.
I forget the name of that. On that corner.
Mm-hmm.
You know where Kentucky Fried is? On the Crystal Drive.
Crystal Drive.
Crystal Drive. If you're coming from 41.
Okay.
And on Crystal Drive, when you get to the next red light, there is a Montessori school on that corner.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that was one of the three that they had in this county during that time. And then, as my wife mentioned, our kids went to
Evangelical
Christian school.
Mm.
Now, there's a story behind that.
Yeah.
Our kids got tired of private school, so our kids asked to go to public school. And our daughter went to North Fort Myers High School. And when it was time for our son to go, he had to go to Mariner.
Yeah, that's
school.
Goes again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So from St. Charles, where Coop Farrell, because we live where Coop live.
Yeah.
We right at that corner.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That was that's where we was right at that corner. And from there to Mariner High School, he had to go. He's from Mariner for where we live now and then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
My wife had the child care center on Michigan Avenue, and because we could not go to an integrated home situation.
Mm-hmm.
She saw this piece of property around the corner from our house. Let me give you a quick story there.
Okay.
I love construction. And we used to visit the parade of homes in this town. You don't see too many of them that like they used to have, where you can go to this area and see all kind of homes.
Mm.
And so Michigan Homes was one of the three places we could go. And they had a Mark 1 Brightonton, was a model, and they had five of them. My wife called and said they had five. Right down from Coop Farrell's house is where we live. By the time we got from that place over to Michigan off of McGregor, they had sold all five of them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was a lie.
Yeah, when they saw us.
Yes.
That's what Jimmy was saying. He thanked my voice. You can't tell, but I don't believe that.
Okay.
That's when he was saying my voice was different.
So it's to my understanding then, because I had a similar story with the Sims when they were trying to get a loan for building a new home.
Yeah.
Was the housing situation, I guess, roughier then for African Americans, or?
Not only was it rough then, that way Mr. Sims them live and where Coop Fair and them live, is called Franklin Park Subdivision.
Mm.
Down off of where you used to be with the Dr. Carey Robinson Center, Edison. Down off of Edison, behind Dr. Carey Robinson, was a low-income housing, which is still there now.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept it nice, and it called Southwood Village. And right next to that Dr. Carey Robinson is the Stars Complex. Well, before Dr. Carey Robinson become Dr. Carey Robinson, it was Fort Myers Recreation Center, and she was the director of that for a couple of years. Then we decided to go and build her that child care center. Anyway, there was very few homes you had a chance. It was either where we were, across Martin Luther King Boulevard, right in the Dunbar Community School now. That area was the only two areas we could live. And those are called, those time was called the elite area for blacks in Lee County. Teachers stayed over by Dunbar Community School, or where we was living, where Coop Farrell, they call that Franklin Park subdivision.
Yeah.
Those were the two areas supposedly that was high income, where you just surviving.
Yeah.
And 90% of them was instructors.
Yeah, well, yeah. Professionals live, you call them.
Yes.
They was teachers, whatever teachers live. You mentioned the housing market. Like Jim said, those were the only areas we could move into. They gave you a choice of maybe 5 or 6 models. That's all you could do. And those models cost just as much over here as the housing in on McGregor and
stuff. Are you serious?
Yes, very serious.
How would you, if you know, let me teach you something. Gas in our area.
Oh, no, it still is.
Is more expensive than the gas in the white area.
Still is to this day.
Poor people pay for being poor.
Why is it more expensive, though? Like,
it still exists.
Yeah.
Racism still exists.
I still can't wrap my head around the fact that they charged as much for housing for here as McGregor. Because McGregor was like, that was like, no, I know you guys are laughing, but yeah. McGregor is like, I mean, like once like
yes,
you're.
It's still like that.
Once you hit the high life, I mean, here in Lee County, you're living off McGregor. Like,
a house over here now in our area, they're paying 80 some thousand for the houses over in this area. These houses are 50 years old and everything. When you could go over there and get the same, for the same money, get a 5-bedroom or something. I'm exaggerating, but it's no equity.
That's absolutely incredible to me. I can't believe that. Okay. I don't know where to go after that. That's, man. And I still can't believe it. I won't go any further.
Exists.
Yeah. Okay. So then, I wanted to ask too, when did you get involved with the community press? Can I ask you about the community press?
Sure. Before that time, I had a paper where we had typeset everything and make a PMT of it before it was printed.
Yeah, this is his second time. Right.
This is my second paper.
Okay.
Now
this is along with all the other jobs we're doing.
Him. He's just like that. And Jonathan had me and my two little children as paper girls and boys. We would be out there selling papers for him.
That's
Didn't
one
give
reason.
Give them away during that time.
No, we sold them for a quarter, 10 cents. For the paper then.
Yeah.
And we went up to a quarter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but tell them about community press. I just had to say that.
Community press or the first one?
No, the one he asked you about. Community press. Yeah.
Okay.
He said, how you got into that?
There was another predominant black paper. We call it black paper.
Okay.
And it's called the Community
Voice.
Community Voice. And it was nothing compared to what we have now. And they would, if you take, for instance, suppose I had this on the computer,
Okay.
And I wanted to make it large. Instead of pulling it from the corners,
yeah,
1/4 corners, to make it balance, they would pull it here.
Oh.
Or there. So you know what I'm talking about.
So was it like a flyer, basically, or
no?
It was a paper.
It was a paper.
Jim is long-winded. I think he got into the business because two of the workers of the other paper, they asked you, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
And he don't know how to say no. And he loved printing. He loved doing it. Like I said, he had a community paper. He did it. We made it. In his Sunday school class, they made a paper for the church.
Mm-hmm.
So he just loved printing.
Mm-hmm.
And he had told me he wasn't going to get involved with anything else, Jonathan. The next thing I knew, he's the publisher of a newspaper now.
So I want to ask before that, with the community press, because I know that's like the black newspaper here. Mm-hmm. Was the Community Voice the only black paper here? And same with
it's always been just one black paper.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
before that time, it was another paper. And before that time, it was another one. After that time, it was another one. And then now, it's another one.
Mm.
And we've been in business now for 4 years, going on the fourth year.
Mm.
Yeah.
I just wanted to ask about the papers because, I mean, to my knowledge, or from what I was told, the only thing in the news press was, apparently, they'd have, one big page in the news press. That was just all the Dunbar news.
Did we have a whole page?
No,
it wasn't a page.
Not even a page. That community press has made two papers do better for predominant black news. And that's the Fort Myers Press, which they do all the printing down in Naples now.
Yep.
And the Fort Myers Weekly. They do a lot of articles about predominant blacks anymore.
Mm.
But they still don't meet our requirements. They do, I don't want to say negative news, but not the good news about the people of this area.
Yeah.
Now, keep in mind now, we go down to Naples, we go to Lehigh, we go to the Cape, certain areas of the Cape, and all what we classified as Dunbar. And because my wife say I talk longer, I'm trying to cut it short.
That's okay. Okay. Well, I was just interested in that. But before any of the papers, what was the primary source? Just your everyday average black family in Fort Myers, what was your main source of information?
Churches.
Okay.
We put announcements in churches and stuff.
Churches is one of the main sources. You have, and I don't know how many now, but in predominant what we classified as black area, Dunbar area, there's 14 churches in this area. And everybody wants to be a pastor. And there's different denominations.
Yeah.
We are Missionary Baptist Church. Mr. Sims with the AME.
Yeah.
And there's also a CMAE. And then there is Missionary Baptist Church. And there's just Baptist Church. And there's some churches.
Methodist Baptist.
Yeah, so it's all of those.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just read about this the other day. I wanted to ask, I was looking because the Lee County School Board had they had published a book that was 100 years of Lee County public schooling and things like that. And I heard in 1968 there was a teacher walkout.
Mm-hmm.
Did either of you participate in that, or did you know about it? Yay.
Both of us.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me about the walkout?
Was it for salaries? I can't remember.
Salary, and mostly money for supplies and materials. It was for better conditions, and most of it was for salary. That was my second year here.
Yeah,
my second year here. And I was at Lee Junior High School then.
You were?
Mm-hmm.
I was still at Franklin Park.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I was at Franklin Park. I was familiar with my sub. I would meet with her every day to tell her what I wanted her to do for my children.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that.
And believe it or not, I like a lot of the administrators who went on the strike there,
they lost their jobs.
They lost their jobs.
Or their position there, and they put them back in the school system as teachers or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Administrators.
Oh, wow.
I remember Robinson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mr. Robinson was a black man at
assistant principal
at what school? Was it the beach or somewhere?
That's I can't think of the name.
Well,
of
that anyway, he went from a assistant principal to a teacher as he walked out.
Wow.
Heights Elementary.
Yeah.
Where was that? Was that
near the beach?
Okay.
There's another black area.
Yeah.
Harlem Heights. That's where I was gonna guess.
Yeah.
That's where he was.
Yeah.
At Harlem Heights Elementary School.
Mm.
And he was a good administrator. But once you do something in this town and you're mobbed, you can almost forget it.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Well, who do you remember, like, how was it organized among the teachers? Like, was I think I know the answer. Is there a union in town that organized it, or like, how was it orchestrated?
I cannot tell you that, but it was Teachers Association.
Okay.
That was the organizer of that, because it wasn't just black teachers that walked out.
Yeah.
It was white teachers too.
Yeah, it was probably teachers union.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I never did become a part of that much, because when I first come here, then the second day of my being in Lee County, the second day I was a teacher, I had a second job.
Mm-hmm.
I've always had a second job. I used to work for Susan Roebuck in men's department, apartment 44 and 35. And so when school was out, I'm heading towards Sears, because I like to dress up a little bit. No, money, you had to have money, so I would get a second job before we can have what we wanted to have.
Mm-hmm.
We work for everything we've done. My wife had the child care center for I don't know how long, with 10 years, kidding? And she worked from 6 in the morning to 6 in the afternoon. And when I left Riverdale and went to Boys and Girls Club, I would let her, once in a blue moon, don't go 6 o'clock, I'll go and open up.
Mm.
And when Boys and Girls Club was there, sometime I would come back to close up, very seldom, because we stayed the Boys and Girls Club to 7, 8 o'clock at night.
Mm.
So I've always had a second job in this county, as long as I can remember, and I still have 2 jobs now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You guys like have like just such a like insane drive. Well, I mean work ethic, really.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we learned it from our parents.
Yes.
I really do.
Definitely. I mean, you guys were talking about your grandparents, mm-hmm, and how they were both entrepreneurs, mm-hmm, and how that inspired you. One of the other things I wanted to ask about then was, I know during the late 60s, early 70s, that was like a big time for like civil rights. And I remember you told me that you had gotten in trouble with the police up in South Carolina.
Well, because I was marching.
Yes.
Uh-huh. That's the only reason. We don't have a record or nothing of that nature.
Sorry. I didn't mean to imply
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, put him in jail.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask if you had ever gotten involved here in Fort Myers, or if you just didn't have the time, or because I mean you were working so much, and then also
I'm gonna share this with you. I've never worked hard with the movement in Fort Myers, mainly because I had 2 jobs. I've always had 2 jobs, and I'm always concerned about my family.
Mm.
So my number one thing is to make better for my family. And if it takes 2 jobs or 3 jobs, I would do that. I didn't have enough time for a lot of civil rights movements, because I wanted to go and do what we can do for a weekend. Because my wife and I, we team our sources together to get what we wanted and needed. So, and we still do that now. Yeah.
Okay.
So we didn't, go ahead.
We support the movement, but as far as being there marching and stuff, They wouldn't let teachers do it.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And then
we paid the dues and, you know, paid our dues and
still
didn't
pay the dues.
We were behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going back to where I made a commitment with my grandparents, my grandmother especially. I told her I would not do that anymore.
Mm.
Yeah, I did it, but I kind of slacked down a little bit. Because she saw me on TV from Jacksonville in South Carolina, and I think it kind of hurt her heart.
Mm.
So I just say I would help in other ways. And you can always help any kind of movement, even if you're behind the scene.
Mm.
Yeah.
Definitely. I understand. Okay. So then I guess the last thing I really have questions about then is once you were in Edison and retired, or well, you're not really retired for the most part. You still have, I'm assuming you said you always have two jobs. Do you have two jobs right now?
Yes. Yeah. Community Press, and I'm still at Junction for Barry University.
Okay. And then, Gwen, are you retired right now?
I'm totally retired.
Okay, good for you. I wanted to ask, how has Fort Myers changed then since you first come? Like, what is the one thing that you've noticed the most?
And you won't like it.
Okay.
I'm going to say my part and let Kitten say it, and you can go first.
I don't know. What do you mean?
You see where Comente Park is now?
Yeah.
That used to be businesses and for black businesses. Right where Martin Luther King used to be, Anderson Avenue, where Quality Life is,
yes.
That was a nightclub. On the corner right here where Comente Park was Tasty Freeze, ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Right next to it, Mr. Gallman's, sort of like a 5 and 10 cents type store with grocery.
Mm.
Right next to him was another little grocery store. Where the church is now, that used to be a sort of like 7-Eleven type thing. Where the funeral home Hickson is now, that was another 7-Eleven. Going further down, we had our own gas station. We had going further down by our church, which is the corner of Palm Avenue, all the way down to Cranford, where the imaginary is, that whole side, there was a TV repair company where they sold TVs and little record players. Right next to it was a 5 and 10 cent store. Right next to that was a cleaner where they do dry cleaning. Right next to that was Mr. Woodbury Barbershop. They had a little break in that. Then there was another restaurant. And then there was a theater. Now, we have never seen the theater, but I knew the theater was there. Across the street where McCullen Hall was, they used to have a men's shop there. And they sold, blacks love certain designer things. Like Stacey Adams and Boston something, another shoe. We love certain kind of clothing, and they sold that right at I call the name.
Cranford.
Yeah, Cranford. They sold that at that place. Shirts, ties, suits, shoes. They sold all that right there. So from Cranford all the way back to Henderson, on both sides, right where Mount Hermon Baptist Church is, there was a pharmacist, Pop Carter. There was a shoe repair place.
Mm-hmm.
There was another ice cream place. And there was a seamstress who used to do put cuffs and stuff in your shoes.
Yeah.
So they had every kind of store you can think of in this area.
Mm.
You look at down, there's nothing.
We lost our businesses.
Yes.
We lost all our businesses.
Yes. And we lost our business listening to the white man because it was supposed to improve and make things wider. It become a highway from going from Lehigh 75 to North Fort Myers or downtown Fort Myers.
Mm-hmm.
So we lost in that case, and we was not told the truth. Now they're trying to bring it back to it, but it'll never come back because the front now, the frontage is not large enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like Boyd's funeral home, you actually need all of Martin Luther King and the next street in order to have a good business anymore.
Because they need parking too,
sure,
right?
They do.
Yeah.
And see, the city requires X amount of parking for the size of your building.
Mm.
It never happened on that side. And it won't happen in this area anymore.
Mm.
To have something like Burger King and McDonald's and something of this nature,
yeah.
They have it on Palm Beach Boulevard.
Yeah.
But they won't have it over here.
Yeah.
And that's what needs to be. If we was young again, oh Lord, because we've had a restaurant on and we made a lot of money in selling hot dogs, French fries, soda pops, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And she made a lot of money with her child care center.
Mm.
He said it all.
Yeah. So why then? Because you were talking about like the like them kind of like expanding the road and things like that. Like, was it just kind of gradual over time that like businesses just went away, or did it all kind of just hit at once?
When it hit at once, because when they put the new road in there and it become Martin Luther King Boulevard, the frontage is not sufficient to have businesses on there.
Yeah.
Especially on the south side of Martin Luther King. There are a few places on the north side of Martin Luther King, but whites own all that property now.
Mm.
Fact about it, right next to which was the bank here is now Fort Myers City Water. A couple of my students from Riverdale own property there now.
Mm.
So all the property that was owned by blacks up there is now owned by whites. And they are waiting. They want to sell now, but nothing is happening.
Yeah.
And the more you ask to buy something, you have to meet certain criterias now.
Mm. All right. Well,
and I'm not trying to paint a dog, because there's some blacks in this town can do those kind of things.
Yeah.
We're just kind of tired now. Because I'm 77 years old, 76 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't have that kind of energy anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I understand where you're coming from too, especially like I mean, like I told you, like I grew up here in Lee County, and at my whole life, when people talked about Dunbar, people talked about Dunbar in like the negative sense, like the way that like, you know, they show it in the news press and things like that. And like, I wish that like, cause I mean, you were going and you were listing like shop by shop, like all the different stores they had. I wish I could just like go through and see that. Like, cause it really seems like it was such just.
Oh, my wife and I will get in our car and sometime just come up here and across the street, we would just sit down and say, kidding, look at them, what they're doing now. It was unreal, man.
Yeah.
There was also further down, there was a drive-in theater too.
Yeah, where the incubators are.
Yeah, where the incubators.
Okay.
There was a drive-in theater there.
Mm-hmm.
Because just like North Fort Myers on 41,
yep.
That was an old, and it's now, they go there on Saturdays to sell clothes and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone there. And also on the corner of 41 and not 6 Mile Cypress, but the new bridge, there was a drive-in theater there.
Mm-hmm.
Unreal. I'd be cool, man.
Yeah, we used to call Anderson Avenue, which is now Martin Luther King, the glittering strip.
Yes. Mm.
And we would just park somewhere and look at them.
Yeah.
Just look at the people.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to end the interview there because I'm fairly certain we're running low on time. I almost went over time with the Sims, but I'm not. But we've been talking for about like an hour and 30 minutes now.
Really?
Yep.
Great.
So I'm going to end the interview.